The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Amen. Last week, we talked about the paradox of what it means to be set apart or to be holy. Paul and the Christians of Ephesus set themselves apart from the world. But they were not isolated or shut off from the world. On the other hand, the world was made new through them, thus the paradox of holiness. Only those who know about this paradox of holiness, the paradox of the cross, where the death of the Lord forsaken by the world became the eternal resurrection that saved the world, can become a true disciple of the Lord in his or her life. Today's passage is a testimony of what happened when Paul lived out that paradox of holiness, the paradox of the cross. Verse 11 goes, "And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul." The subject of this verse is God, not Paul. It is not Paul who was doing extraordinary miracles, but God who was doing them by the hands of Paul. The extraordinary miracle mentioned in the passage is the power to heal the sick and to drive evil spirits away. Everyone whom Paul laid his hands on was healed from their diseases, and the evil spirits came out of them. The original Greek word for extraordinary is tukousas, and this also means eminent or exceptional. Even before Acts 19, God had used Paul to heal the sick or drive away evil spirits. So it seems a bit odd to describe these acts as extraordinary miracles in this passage when they had been done before. But when we look at verse 12, we can see why the expression extraordinary miracles was used in this passage. Verse 12 goes, "So that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them." As we had seen last Sunday, Paul and the Christians of Ephesus would worship and study the Word of God in the lecture halls of Tyrannus during the sweltering hours of between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m., when the rest of the city would be eating lunch or taking a nap. Paul, who was a tent maker by vocation, would use the rest of his day to make tents for a living. The original word for handkerchief is sudarion, which is derived from the Latin word sudar, that means sweat. This is the word for the piece of cloth that laborers like Paul used to wipe their sweat while working. The original word for apron is semikynthian. Again, laborers like Paul used aprons for their work. So people were taking Paul's sweat rag and work apron and taking them to the sick, upon which the disease would leave the sick and the evil spirits would come out of them. This was indeed an extraordinary miracle. Jesus came to this world and freed many people from their diseases and from the torments of evil spirits. Jesus did this by laying his hands on the sick or looking at them and ordering them to be healed. But this was not always the case. There was once a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years. She had spent all that she had trying to get well, but to no avail. The poor woman heard the reports about Jesus and went to find him. When she had found him, she saw that a crowd had already gathered around him. Because she did not think she was worthy to approach Jesus directly, she went behind him in the crowd and timidly touched his garment. For she thought, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well, even when all the physicians in the world could not heal me. And at that time, power came out of Jesus and upon her, and immediately the flow of blood dried up. Jesus had not laid his eyes and hands on her, nor ordered the disease to leave her body. Jesus did not look the woman in the eye, did not even see her, because she had approached him from behind. The woman did not touch Jesus himself, but just his garment. And yet, Jesus commended her faith and completely healed her from her discharge of blood. This was an extremely extraordinary miracle. Jesus' disciple Peter also had an active healing ministry. This is Acts chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. So that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. People who were so sick they couldn't move were carried out into the streets, laid on cots and mats, waiting for Peter to just pass by. Even when just Peter's shadow fell on them, their disease was healed and the evil spirits were driven away. Shadows don't have substance. They are illusions. Was it Peter's substanceless shadow that had such power to do such acts? This was God who had mercy on the sick using Peter's shadow. This was an extraordinary miracle as well. Today's passage is the same. Paul is just a mortal human like us. Paul's handkerchiefs and work aprons are nothing but rags in people's eyes. They are not of great value. But when these were carried away to the sick, their diseases left them and the evil spirits came out of them. Paul's handkerchiefs and work aprons were of little material value, But even such ordinary objects owned by Paul were used by God who had mercy on the people of Ephesus. This was indeed an extraordinary miracle. An incurable discharge of blood was healed even when the woman did not look at Jesus in the eye and just touched his garment. People were healed and evil spirits were driven away just by having Peter's shadow fall upon them and by having Paul's handkerchief and apron touch their skins. These are indeed extraordinary miracles. But we must not forget that the performer of such miracles is the Holy Trinity. If Jesus' garment, Peter's shadow, and Paul's handkerchief and work apron were in themselves a source of miracle, then that too would be an undeniably extraordinary miracle. But it was the Holy Spirit who used such ordinary objects to perform extraordinary miracles. For God, who created the entire creation, such miracles would not be extraordinary at all. And yet, Luke, who recorded the book of Acts, described them as extraordinary miracles because that's what they were in the eyes of the Ephesians who witnessed the Acts themselves, and in our eyes, reading this passage 2,000 years later. God Almighty can perform what are extraordinary miracles in human eyes using ordinary objects. And this is not limited to Bible stories from 2,000 years ago. God transcends time and place, and even in this day and age of the 21st century, if needed, God performs extraordinary miracles in people's eyes to do His will. As I have talked about during a new believer's class lecture, I have experienced God's extraordinary miracles many times throughout my life. One such miracle involved a cell phone. In 2009, from November 17 to 19, a workshop for missionaries in Southeast Asia was held in Yangon, Myanmar. I was invited as a speaker, and at the time, I was still using a flip phone instead of a smartphone. I had applied some time before the trip for automatic roaming service, and I naturally thought that I'd be getting roaming service in Myanmar as well. But upon arriving in Myanmar and turning on my phone, I discovered that roaming service was not provided in this country. The military regime that had taken over Myanmar since a 1962 coup d'etat had shut out roaming service in order to control the telecommunications. Some of you might have also experienced this, but the clock on a cell phone is always paused at 12 o'clock in locations where roaming service is not provided. The clock on my cell phone screen in Myanmar at the time was also paused at 12 o'clock. My cell phone became practically useless as I could not use it for calls or to check the time. The place where the missionary workshop was held did not provide a morning call service. Instead, someone from the organizing team had volunteered to make the morning call round. But this individual was supposed to be calling a great number of people one by one by hand. There was quite a possibility that I would not be getting a morning call at the hour I wanted, and thus making me late for the early morning prayer session I was supposed to lead. All of a sudden, I remembered my cell phone. Almost automatically, I turned on my cell phone, which I had already known to be useless in Myanmar. The clock, which had stayed stuck at 12 o'clock the previous day when I first arrived in Myanmar, was amazingly now showing me the local time. The cell phone clock was working fine, unlike the previous day, even when there was still no roaming service. I set the alarm on my cell phone clock. The next day, the alarm went off at the exact intended hour, and I was able to lead the prayer session as scheduled. After the prayer session, I checked my phone again. The clock on the screen showed not the local time, but 12 o'clock again. It was as if the clock alarm incident had not happened at all. I turned the phone on and off several times to make sure. But the clock stayed at 12 o'clock instead of showing the local time up to the time I left the country. In an isolated country in terms of telecommunications where there is no roaming service, for my cell phone clock to show the local time accurately for a single night is an extraordinary miracle. To this day, I believe that it was God who made my cell phone clock work in that place without a morning call service, so that the workshop for the missionaries could be carried out as scheduled. It was God doing an extraordinary miracle. But it was an extraordinary miracle in my eyes because I am a mortal creation. For God, who is almighty, that was nothing extraordinary. Even in this age of science and technology, God does extraordinary miracles in human eyes using ordinary objects in order to do His will. So how should we live our lives in the presence of such a God? If the woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years got healed after touching Jesus' garment and then became obsessed with the garment itself, she could have found herself becoming forever distanced from God because of her extraordinary experience. If the people who were healed thanks to Peter's shadow ended up only following that shadow around, they might have become healed physically in an extraordinary way, but they would never have attained the real truth. If the sick whose diseases left them and the evil spirits came out of them started worshiping those ordinary objects of Paul, the handkerchiefs and the work aprons, their extraordinary experience would have only served as a barrier between themselves and God. The Holy Trinity did extraordinary miracles for them using ordinary objects to ultimately set their lives straight on the foundation of truth. If after experiencing my cell phone clock working accurately for a night in a country without roaming service, I chose such extraordinary happenings as the goal of my faith, I would have ended up becoming an idol worshiper full of superstitions. But because I'd been given such an extraordinary experience by the power of God, I know I should try to live my life straight before God. It is an extremely worthy thing for those who are suffering from diseases to receive bodily healing through God's miracle. But even the healthiest person will grow old and weak with time and finally wither away to dust. Therefore, even more important than physical health, even if one's health is gone, the most important thing is a life lived straight before God. God changes an entire generation and renews the future to come through a single person living a straight life. The people recorded in the Bible are testimonies to that truth. There is no more extraordinary miracle than God in His power setting straight a human life that was entwined in chaos and darkness before. As I talked about before, after finishing my radiotherapy at the end of last January, I stayed at a retreat facility called Helion's Sun Village from February to May to recover. Most of the people staying at Sun Village were not recovering medical patients like myself or individuals, but members of groups who were participating in the 2 or 3 day programs. During the 4 months I was there, I saw various groups visiting, including executives from chaebol companies and financial institutions, doctors, professors, civil teachers, civil servants, etc. At this place, there was a small spa. In the changing rooms of the spa, there were baskets where one placed one's belongings instead of lockers. Anyone who used the spa could see the other people's clothes left in the baskets. Can you imagine how many people's clothes I saw during the 4 months? Yet, only once during that entire 4 months, with the exception of my own basket, did I see a basket with clothes inside folded neatly. And that basket belonged to my acquaintance in faith. With that one exception, clothes were sloppily piled on everyone else's baskets. Executives, bankers, doctors, professors, teachers, civil servants, adults, students, children, all were the same. Of course, there might have been someone using the spa at a different time with me who folded their clothes neatly in their basket. But during the times I used the spa, it was always the same. Most people also threw their used towels around carelessly anywhere. I asked my wife, and she answered that it was the same in the women's changing room. To be so careless with one's clothes or used towels in a public place shared by many people show that that person's heart is not set straight. One can always recognize straight hearts through straight words and actions. For me, I saw the state of the Korean society in the clothes basket in the changing room of Sun Village's spa. Instead of acting thoroughly and straight, keeping to principles and standards, we are too slack and lenient on ourselves. If someone who leaves their clothes, including their underwear, around chaotically in a public place, if that person were the executive of a big corporation or a financial institution, would that person be transparent and accurate in their work? If such a person were a doctor, would he or she consider someone else's life as precious as his or her own? If such a person were a professor or a teacher, would he or she be teaching character to the students? If such a person were a civil servant, instead of worrying about the country's future, wouldn't he or she be just going through the motions indifferently? If such a person were a politician, wouldn't our politics become even lower and childish? If such a person were the captain of a ship, wouldn't he put his own life ahead of others? If such a person were the maintenance crew for a passenger ferry, wouldn't he be shirking from his job? The tragedy of the Seoul ferry 1 year ago was not just an accident that happened in the sea by Jindo because of a few individuals' mistakes. This was a tragedy that we brought upon ourselves because we have chosen to ignore principles and standards so flagrantly. We are accomplices to this tragedy. After the Seoul ferry was capsized last April 16, the entire country was pouring their outrage on the crew of the ferry and on Yoo Byung-eun, the substantial owner of Cheongye-jin Marine Company that operated the ferry. Many people also blamed the incompetence of the government. But the spa users of the Sun Village are still carelessly throwing their clothes around, and traffic laws are being broken by drivers all around the city. Taxis station themselves anywhere, even when blocking traffic flow, waiting for customers, and there are illegal banners being hung up everywhere. They criticize and point their fingers at those involved in this Seoul incident, but don't realize that they are accomplices. One year has gone by, but nothing has changed in our society. In the past year, through all the accidents and incidents, most people still kept on ignoring the principles and standards and slacking in everything for the sake of their own interest and convenience. If we go on like this, we will never know when another tragedy like this Hewa tragedy will strike us again. The 100 Together Sports Day, to be held on May 5th at the Mokdong Main Stadium, is being prepared by Reverend Lim Yong-wan. Reverend Lim is so immersed in the preparations for the event that he said that he even talked about 100 together in his sleep. At the beginning of the year, when first put in charge of the 100 Together preparations, Reverend Lim asked me if there was anything I wanted to stress about the event. I asked only one thing. I asked that everyone who participates in the games abide by the rules of the game. Every time the church holds an event, I am sorry to see people who don't abide by the rules. If members of the church don't abide by the rules within the church in meetings for fellowship, how could they become Christians who abide by the right principles and standards in face of the powers of the world and strive to set the world straight? In the beginning, the world was chaos itself. Chaos was transformed to cosmos, a world of order, by God's word. The word of the Holy Trinity has the power to change chaos to order and to set order. One cannot be but in awe of this extraordinary miracle. The God of such an extraordinary miracle is already abiding in us, and since before has kept us abided in His word. Let us all, by the power of God's extraordinary miracle, set our hearts and lives straight. That is the only kind of life that will remember the Hewa tragedy in earnest, and the only way to set our society fundamentally straight so that our descendants will not experience another Hewa tragedy in this land. If we who live in the extraordinary miracles of God don't do this, who else in this world would? Let us pray. Even before I knew God, the Holy Trinity knew me and called my name and made me God's child. Thank you for this extraordinary grace. The Son of God paid for my sins at the cross, and my sins, which were scarlet, became white as snow. Thank you for this extraordinary miracle. The Holy Trinity is already abiding in my ordinary life and already keeping me abided in God's word. Thank you for letting me live my life every day within this extraordinary miracle. Upon God's extraordinary miracle, Help us become true Christians who set our hearts and lives straight before God. Help us who live in God's extraordinary miracle to recover the principles and standards of our society that we have caused to break down, and to make our society a straight society where justice and righteousness is pursued. Thus, let the sacrifice of the victims of the Seoul ferry tragedy a year ago become the seeds of life for building a new Korea. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.